It's me again. Hey, welcome to our Christmas service, man. I hope Christmas has been as good for you as it has been for me and my family. Man, we've had lots of fun and food and fellowship, and I think I'm going to have to pay for some of that in January. I have a friend who told me they got an invitation to a post-Christmas party, and there was an asterisk. It said post-Christmas casual was the dress code. And then at the bottom of the page, it said whatever still fits, right? And that's kind of where I'm at right now. But anyway, over the past few weeks, we've been studying an Old Testament prophecy from the book of Isaiah that foretold the birth of Jesus and gave him four pretty significant names. It said that this young man, when he is born, will be a wonderful counselor. He will be the mighty God. He will be the everlasting father of our faith. And he will be the Prince of Peace. But I'll tell you, there's another prophecy in the book of Isaiah that gives him another name as well. It is probably the most famous name and the most famous prophecy about the birth of Jesus in the Old Testament. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 7, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Everybody say sign.
Sign.
You ever met anybody who was waiting for a sign from God? Everybody in this room? This is one of them. This right here is one of those signs that everybody should be paying attention to. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Now, that's interesting, because the Hebrew word for Emmanuel means God with us. So everybody who meets this kid is going to eventually figure out that God is with us because he is with us. Man, this is a promise that this child will be God. Consequently, God will be with us because of the virgin-born child is with us. This is a sign. This is a sign of something ultra special. Now, from the moment that prophecy was given, every little Jewish kid in the ancient world would have heard about it, memorized that verse, looked forward to the day that God would send this Messiah, this special one, that who would be a sign, this virgin who would be with child and give birth to a son. And then we'll all know he's God with us. Now, fast forward to a hillside outside of Jerusalem where a group of shepherds are watching their sheep on the night that Jesus was born. It says in Luke chapter 2 that suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were all terrified. And then the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. Now stop right there for 1 second. This is free. This is not my notes. Have you ever met anybody who said, oh, I would just love to meet my guardian angel? No, you wouldn't. Everybody in the Bible who ever met an angel was scared to death, right? So the shepherds have to be told, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. What? The Savior, the Messiah that Isaiah talked about 800 years ago. And then the angel says an intriguing thing. Say it with me, everybody. Say it with me, everybody. Next. I'm coming up there. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love y'all. Don't turn the lights off. I know how this works. I talk up here, they get revenge back there. I know how this works, all right? Let's say this all together. Y'all ready? Big boys, here we go. This will be a sign to you. Now, if you were a preacher when you read that, you would have kind of bumped it when you said sign, because that's the key word, right? So let's try it one more time and give it a little Christmas bump. Y'all ready? Here we go. This will be a sign to you. There's that idea that started 800 years ago. A sign from God is coming. This is the sign that Isaiah talked about in his prophecy. It's a clue, man, so you'll know what you're looking at. Now, if you're a shepherd, you most likely expect that this sign is going to be pretty impressive. I mean, man, if this is the Messiah, the Christ, you know, the long-awaited servant of God who's going to come and set things right in the world, well, dude, he'll be royalty. And what you expect to say, this is the sign. You'll find him wrapped in silk robes and lying in a golden crib and living in a fabulous palace. And there'll be parties and the flags will be flying at the birth of the new prince. And you'll hear the band and the celebration over the castle wall, because that's just how kings roll in this world. But the angel doesn't say anything like that. In fact, the angel says the most unexpected possible thing. He says, this will be a sign to you. You will find this super baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. What? The king is going to be born in a stable where people keep their animals? He's going to be wrapped in cloths because that's how the common people dressed newborns back in the day? He'll be lying in an animal's food trough because his parents couldn't afford a nice crib? Friends, that'd be the last sign anybody would have expected. And listen, we're not too crazy about that sign today. Now, if you just notice, when you drive home through your neighborhood, you'll see all kind of little nativity sets. all kind of, you know, scenes of the stable and the wise men and Joseph and Mary out in front of people's houses. And thank God for that. I think that's awesome. But you got to admit, all the people in that little scene look like they just got out of the shower. Amen. Hair's gelled up pretty good, looking good. Robes are all neat and pressed, ironed. Everybody looks friendly, cozy. I doubt that's what the shepherds saw that night. And I don't think Joseph was some incompetent goofball who just forgot to make reservations for his pregnant wife. Man, when they got to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, the city was packed. There were no rooms available. And Mary about to have that baby. And so I imagine when somebody said, well, we got this stable and it's quiet and it's private. You're welcome to stay there. I'm sure they were thankful just to have a place to go. Now, listen, this is a place in Bethlehem that I have taken hundreds of Compassion Christians to see. Many scholars think this may be the kind of place where Jesus was born. It's a cave where people would keep their animals in that. There was stoves in there where you could light a fire and warm the thing up a little bit. It's a powerful place to visit. Matter of fact, if you went to the Journey, you notice the stable at the end of the Journey is modeled after this place. But I'll guarantee you, when Joseph told Mary, she didn't go, they're putting us in the stables? Cool. This will be so quaint. I'm sure, you know, Joseph did whatever he could do to get that place cleaned up. But listen, they didn't have Germex back in the day, y'all. And it looked and smelled like stables always look and smell. It was not an ideal place to have a child. But the angel said that Jesus being born in that stable was not an accident. It was not incompetence. It was a sign. Dude, this is communication from a sovereign God. This is a clue. Get this. Jesus is not born in an ordinary place, in an ordinary way, because he will not be an ordinary king. His kingdom is going to be different. You'll recognize him because he'll be born supernaturally, but he'll show up in a subpar place. He'll arrive with no power, no money, no fanfare, no applause, no media coverage, and he won't need any. Man, the king of the universe will enter human history in a little bundle wrapped in obscurity and poverty and humility because, friends, it is a sign. It's a sign for you, a sign so that you will know that there is no place Jesus will not go. There is no body that Jesus will not love. There is no effort Jesus will not show to express his love to people who are down and out and people who are up and out. And you know, in the Christmas story, both kind of folks saw the sign. The shepherds were the down and outers. The wise men were the up and outers. Both saw a sign from God and were led to the bed where little Jesus was laying. Now, friends, they'll all see these signs that are designed to let them know one thing. There is no depth to which Jesus will not descend in order to bring God's power and God's love and God's grace and God's peace and goodness and presence and proximity to anybody who wants to have a relationship with him. And 2,000 years later, that story can be assigned to us as well. Listen, if you're willing to look, you will see signs in this world, signs of God in the messiest places in your life. And let me tell you, the reason this is good news of a great joy for all of us is we are all messy people. Can I get amen? We all live in a messy world, y'all. And I mean, some of that mess just has to do with your stage in life. Listen, my son got on an airplane in Seattle 30 minutes ago, and he is flying to Savannah so we can have Christmas together. He's on his way with his wife, pregnant wife, and three kids on an airplane all day long. Y'all, let's stop and pray for him right now. Amen. Man, I remember when my boys were little, you know, we used to go back to California because my wife's parents lived in California or Montana where she was from. And we'd pack those three boys up on an airplane and we'd start flying out west. And we'd get them a little bag of snacks and get them a little bag of toys, you know, just to keep them occupied. My mother, who's here with us today, she would go with us most of the time. And we'd get her a little bag of toys and a little bag of snacks as well, you know, just kind of, you know, as we're moving that tribe from coast to coast, man, it was an adventure challenge, right? John Ortberg tells about flying with his two kids, and he said their row was just a mess. I mean, it was littered with dirty diapers and crackers and crumbs and spilled milk. It didn't look good. It didn't smell good. And the guy on the airplane a couple rows ahead of him looked back and saw all that carnage, and he said, are those your kids? And John was like, yeah, they're my kids. He said, my wife and I would give anything to have two kids. He said, really? You don't have any children? He said, yeah, we got five kids, but we would give anything to only have That's terrible. That's terrible, you know? But you know, sometimes, man, it's our family, you know, the people we love the most in the world that create the biggest messes in our lives. And I bet there's not a person in this room who isn't dealing with some pain this Christmas because of a relationship or a situation that's just a mess. And so that angel's message is good news for us too. Man, the one who was born in a messy stable and laid in a manger will come right in the middle of your life, no matter how messed up it is, if you'll ask him. You got to ask him. Now, friends, this is important because sometimes people think, you know, I really feel like maybe I want to connect with God, but dude, I got to get my life together first. I mean, I've created a mess here and I got to get my stuff together. And when I get my stuff together, then me and my family are going to come back to God. Really? Dude, how's that working for you? Because, I mean, you haven't been able to clean that mess up yet. And you're never going. Listen, if you could clean it up apart from the Lord, he wouldn't have had to send Jesus in the first place. Many of you walked in this room today, and part of you are thinking, you know, I love this church, and I would love to be a part of this church family, but if these people knew me, if they knew what I was into, they wouldn't even want me coming here. Can I just say, if that's you, you came to the right church this Christmas, because here's what's real. This is a room full of people who are apart from God, just keep messing up over and over and over again, and that is reality for all of us. We've actually thought about putting a sign up over the front door of the church that says, no perfect people allowed. Because we don't have any. We don't have a one. In fact, if it'll help you feel better, let's do kind of a mass confession here. If over the last 12 months, you've made a mess in any area of your life, maybe it's relational or vocational, something happened at work, maybe financial, maybe academic, excuse me, if you're still in school, or spiritual, or moral, or parental maybe, or maybe even romantic, that guy I knew I should have said no, you know? Man, if you are bold enough to admit that there's one area in your life where things got a little bit messy in the last 12 months, would you just raise your hand so that everybody here who thinks Christian people all think they're perfect will know that there are no perfect people in this room. Amen? Amen. Now, if you think you had a pretty good year last year, but the person next to you looks a little bit messed up, raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand on that, all right? Now, friends, here's the good news about Jesus. He already knows about your mess, and that doesn't scare him at all. That's why he came. Friends, that's why Jesus started his life in a mess, dressed in rags, laid in a manger, and ended his life in a mess, wrapped in rags, and hung on a cross. But let me tell you, when he came back from the dead, he proved in history that he understands, and he can help messed up people like you and me find new life in him. He didn't have to do that. He chose to do that because it's a sign. It's a sign for you. He wants messed up people to know that he loves them and he'll accept them and he can forgive them and he will lead them to a better way of life. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if this past year was a good year for you. Maybe it wasn't a good year for you. But I know one thing. 2017, this coming year, could be the best year you have ever had with God. Man, Jesus just loves it when somebody comes to him and says, Lord, I have messed everything up apart from you. Please come into my life and help me start sorting some of this stuff out. Now, of course, there's a part that only Jesus can do. And there's a part that only you can do that starts with that decision to play ball with the Lord. But friends, it could start for a lot of us here today if you could just summon the courage to say two words. Two words. You know, some of us are not feeling very joyful today because there's been a relational rift in our life that's ripping our hearts out. Maybe it's something that happened with you and your spouse or your son or your daughter, friend, business partner. The hurt is so deep, the rift is so deep that you've given up, even hoping that it could be repaired. I wonder how dramatically Jesus could change your world if you could just sincerely say two words. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let's try that. Some of y'all never said these words before. Let's try it one time. Y'all ready? Here we go. I'm sorry. Come on, big voice now. I'm sorry. Listen, these two words can change everything. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for being such a jerk. I'm just sorry. You don't have to say you're sorry. That's not what this is about. I just need to tell you that I'm sorry. Man, is there anybody here today who needs to say those two words? Friends, I've seen Jesus clean up messes and avert divorces, and reunite families, and business partnerships salvaged, and friendships preserved, just because somebody summoned the courage and the humility and trusted the Lord enough to say those two words. I'm telling you, it's amazing how Jesus can help people out of messes when they trust him enough to just say, I'm sorry. Some of you came here today so full of guilt and shame, you didn't even want to come. Man, you stood here with your arms folded through these Christmas carols, couldn't even sing. Because your life is out of control. Dude, your pace of life is out of control. You're spending out of control. You're eating out of control. Drinking out of control. You know it. Everybody knows you knows it. And they are scared for you. They're scared for you. Because this self-destructive path that you're on, you've been on it for a while. And you keep talking about getting off. You just don't. Because you can't. Not on your own. If you had the strength to do it, you'd have done it a long time ago. So what do? Well, maybe you need to do what my friends do over across the street here at Celebrate Recovery every Friday night when they summon their courage and they say two amazingly revolutionary words. Help me. Help me. Let's practice this, everybody. Say it with me now. Big voice. Come on. Help me. Listen. Help me. Jesus, help me do what I obviously, what everybody in my world knows I cannot do in my own strength. Send me a godly friend that I can just say, help me understand what my next step is, what I'm doing wrong, why my family is so dysfunctional. Help me. Man, it's amazing how Jesus can help people out of messes, you know, when we just trust him enough to say, help me. This is the hardest two words a man will ever say. Smartest two words a man will ever say. Help me. Touch me with that transformational power. Some of you got a bad medical report this year. And man, you need to pray to God 100 times a day without any embarrassment. Heal me. Heal me. Lord, just put that healing hand on me. Father, work through the doctors and nurses that you sent into my life. I thank you for them. But Father, do beyond what they can do and heal me. Let's say it all together, y'all. Big voice now. Heal me. So many times I've seen Jesus help people through medical messes and out of medical messes. When they begin to trust him enough to just pray that simple prayer, Lord, heal me. Many of you are going to have a tough Christmas today because there's an empty chair at your table. Lots of folks here at Compassion Christian are really grieving this Christmas. And it seems so unbearable. You know, somebody that you love so much is just not going to be there. My counsel to you is to say the same two words that my family said when my dad died in the middle of the night on December the 21st. Just drop down on your knees and say these two words. Comfort me. Comfort me. Say it with me, everybody. Comfort me. Friends, grief can leave a hole in your heart that no human being can fill. It can only be filled by a peace that passes all understanding. We talked about it last week, and if you want to watch that on the website, you can. But, you know, the Bible says that God is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And, you know, there's so many people in our family right now who've begun to see the sun shining through the darkness of grief because they started praying that prayer, Lord, comfort me, comfort me. You know, it's amazing how Jesus can help people out of messes when they trust him enough to just say, Lord, comfort me. Some of you walked in here today with a good bit of regret because you've been deeply disappointed by yourself. You disappointed yourself. You crossed a line you swore you would never cross. You did something again you thought you would never do again. And when you walked in this door today, man, maybe the words you need to say more than anything else today are, forgive me. Forgive me. Say it with me, everybody. Forgive me. You know, the Bible says as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. You know, it's interesting that the Bible doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. Because, you know, you get an airplane and start flying north, and when you get to the North Pole, guess what happens if you keep going? You start flying south, right? I mean, I tell people that about Savannah all the time. Savannah is as far south as you can go. When you get south of Savannah, it starts turning north again. Can I say amen? You've been to Florida. You know what I'm talking about, all right? But anyway, the great thing about going from the east to the west, look, you can go east forever. Dude, you can go east and east and east and east. It's infinite, man. And what God is trying to say is, look, that's how my grace is. All the shame you walked in here with today, all the guilt you struggle with, man, I can cast that so far away from you that it'll be a dim memory. But it'll be replaced with a peace and a joy that you cannot understand until you are forgiven. I'm not talking about some counselor talking you into believing it doesn't count or it doesn't matter, everybody does it. I'm talking about owning up, saying, I did it, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Those are life-changing words. Life-changing words. I'll own it. Please forgive me. I'm telling you, it's amazing the kind of mess the Lord Jesus can help us clean up when we just trust him enough to say, forgive me. Now, some of you today, it's a little chilly this Christmas because you got a big decision you need to make and you don't know which way to go. You don't know whether to go down this road or that road. You don't know whether to take this job or that job. You don't know whether to go to that school or that school. You don't know whether to marry him or him or him. You know, you got problems, man. You know what I'm saying? And maybe what you need this Christmas is just to open your hands to God and say, Lord, guide me. Guide me. Let's practice, y'all. Say it with me now. Guide me. Lord, you know the future. I don't see it, but you do. Lord, you know me better than I know myself. Would you be so kind as just to apply your infinite wisdom and your insight to my life and guide me? Now, one of the things I've noticed talking to people over the years is who've had their lives changed and their mess cleaned up by Jesus is that a significant percentage of them would say that life-changing relationship with Christ started at a Christmas service. That's kind of awesome. They'll say, Kim, it's kind of a mysterious thing. I'm telling you, man, the weeks leading up to Christmas, I had these random conversations with people that just got me thinking. Somebody at work told me they were praying for me. Nobody ever told me that before. Somebody invited me to the journey, and I came, and boom, man, I blew my hair off. That did for me. I read something that struck me. I was driving to the church for the Christmas service, and I actually thought, I wonder if this is the year that I'm going to become a follower of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about religion, friends. Listen, religion will mess you up. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with the God who knows you and loves you. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're just like people who tell me almost every week, dude, did my parents email you? Did my wife text you? Man, you were talking to me. That's exactly what I thought in the car on the way over here today. I wonder if this is the year that I'm going to get right with the Lord. And if that's you, there are two simple words that you need to say today. Save me. Save me. Let's practice, everybody. Save me. Listen, these are the two greatest words some of us have ever said in our lives. Lord, I want to be reconciled with you through your son, Jesus. You know, the Bible says over and over again, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know what everyone means in the Greek language? Same thing it means in the English language. Everybody. Everybody. Listen, Georgia fans and Florida fans. Can you believe that? Clemson fans and Alabama. No, that might be going a little bit too far. I don't know about that. Star Wars fans and normal people. All right, Star Wars fans. Just kidding. Put the lightsaber down, sir. Put it down, all right? Listen, if this is the Christmas when you want to say, Lord, I want to be transformed by this baby who was born in a manger, who grew up to be the most life-changing leader who ever walked on this planet, then maybe the words you need to whisper to him today are, Lord, save me. Save me. Man, it's amazing how Jesus can help people out of the mess of their sin when they humble themselves and say, Lord, please save me. I know I don't deserve it. I know I can't earn it, but I know you can do it. So, Lord, please save me. And listen, don't ever believe the cynics. We all got cynical friends. And we all got people who are just jaded, who just believe, hey, some messes, unfixable. Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, man. People can't change. That's a lie. That is a lie. You might not be able to unscramble all the eggs, but I've watched the Lord make some pretty cool omelets out of some of the biggest messes we've ever made. And I'm telling you right now, I have seen God radically change so many lives. I know he can change yours too. Let me show you a picture of a relative of mine. This is my Aunt Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann is my mother's cousin. And she came to the journey. Now, Ruth Ann came to the journey under duress. Her daughter-in-law wanted her to come to the journey. She did not want to come. She lives up the coast somewhere. She said, I don't want to go to that thing. I don't leave my house. I don't want to go. Her daughter-in-law just insisted that she come. And if you're here, daughter-in-law, and you brought my aunt to the journey, please come hug my neck and tell me, because I want to thank you, because God touched Ruth Ann at the journey. It was an awesome thing. She had a moment with the Lord at the journey. She called my mama the next morning and told her, Ernestine, you are not going to believe how the Holy Spirit is working at your son's church, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, keep it going, Mama. Tell my mama all about that, right? I think I know why she had such an amazing experience. Ruth Ann has some mobility issues. And so she rode through the journey on a golf cart that was driven by my friend Kathy Penny. Now, Ruth Ann asked Kathy, how'd you get to this church? And Kathy said, my life was a mess. My life was a mess. I live in a neighborhood about 5 minutes over that way. A bunch of my neighbors go to church here. They've invited me to this church 100 times. I just never had the first intention to go until my husband abandoned me. And when my husband left me, it broke my heart. And one of the pastors of our church was my neighbor. And when he heard what happened, he and his wife walked across the street, knocked on my door, came in, talked with me, prayed with me, offered to help me any way they could, invited me to come to church with them anytime I wanted to come. And so the next Sunday, I came here to Compassion, and I got hit. And a few weeks later, I prayed for Jesus to save me. And my life has never been the same. Kathy is so full of joy and love. I mean, she's just splashing all over Ruth Ann the whole time. It was awesome. She's overwhelmed by what Jesus is doing in her life. Friends, it's amazing how quickly life can change when you reach out to the Lord with just those two little simple words, save me. Okay, I'm going to quit talking, but I'm going to put these seven phrases up on the side screens. And for the next couple minutes, I'm going to ask you to think about which one of those phrases you need to say today. You need to say them to somebody. You need to say it to the Lord. I'm going to ask you not to talk to anybody else. Don't get up and hit the door because the best part of the Christmas service is coming up. But I just want to ask you, what is a two-word phrase that hit you today? I mean, when I said those two words, you went, oh, dude, that's where I'm at right now. Some of you need to pray, save me right now. Listen, Jesus slept in this manger, He slept in a manger 2,000 years ago to prove that he can reach into any life, doesn't matter how messy. And he can provide a grace and power that can make things right. And he wants to do that great work in your life, but you will have to ask him. Mama can't hook this up for you when you're a little baby, y'all. You will have to ask him. So listen to this beautiful music, and then I'll come back in a minute, and I will give you a chance to do something about whatever phrase the Lord has put on your heart here today.